What is it good for? Absolutely everything. Say it again. Vote.
Yeah, that's what you said the last time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting and very special episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, President Bookie, I'm beginning to smell a big, fat commie rat. Oh. Do I have to edit that out?
Nope.
Stays in. All right, there it is. What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, let's talk about the presidents.
Hail to the chief. He's the one we all say hail to. Hail to the chief because he keeps himself so clean.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great.
I have my finger on the mute button right now.
Okay, mine too. I'm ready to mute.
Abraham Lincoln over here. All right.
All right. Presidential movies.
Presidential movies. What are the rules? You got to break down some rules because I have like 450.
450 presidential movies. That's way more than there are presidents.
All Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
Gary Oldman is a bad guy. I mean, you can't beat that.
You can't. I mean, he's a great actor. I don't know. Well, there are no rules. There are no rules.
Right, nope.
I have two. I just have two. Okay. One's an action movie and one's a comedy.
Because, right, lead us in. Lead us in. Right. It's the State of the Union, Uncle Bookie. Take us home.
My fellow Americans.
That's a weird one. That's the one you like?
I really like this movie. It's got Jack Lemmon in it.
A classic.
And he's the chief president in this movie. And we got James Garner.
That's correct.
And he's kind of like the Bill Clinton type of president in this.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
And then we have Dan Aykroyd, who's the current president in this, trying to frame the other two past presidents. You know, blaming the past president. Kind of like something that's going on.
I've heard of it.
Now.
Yep, that's President Kramer was Jack Lemmon, and Douglas is James Garner, and the current President Haney is Dan Aykroyd. Little conspiracy in there. Kind of a buddy cop movie a little bit. Came out in 96. Didn't do all that well, but I liked it. Peter Siegel directed it. I've always liked him. Lauren Bacall. Sneaky Lauren Bacall performance in there, too. I always like her.
It's just a great, great fun movie. I mean, I love James Garner.
Yeah, classic Maverick.
You can't get Maverick. Maverick the movie, you know.
Yeah, not a bad movie, actually. Yeah, not bad. Great Jodie Foster performance.
And you can't get any better than Jack Lemmon. I mean, come on. Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, my God. Put that coffee down.
Coffee is for closers.
I would agree with that one. That's a pretty good movie. It's surprisingly rewatchable, and it's kind of light. I'm going to go opposite from last week. I'm going to give you my favorite one of all time right off the bat because I can't hold it in. It is, when you check realwatchability.com, top 10 movies of all time. It is in my top 10 movies of all time. It is Lightning in the Bottle. It's one of the greatest scripts ever written. I think one of the smartest ideas. And by the way, the guy who wrote this wrote one of your favorite movies. You want to take a shot at it? Gary Ross wrote Dave, and he also wrote Mr. Baseball. You're welcome, America.
Wow.
That's a pretty good resume, right?
From Mr. Baseball to Dave.
And Ivan Reitman, who did Ghostbusters, you know my love for Ghostbusters, directed it. It's one of my favorite actors of all time, Kevin Kline. It's a clean, short, efficient movie that is funny. It's got a lot of heart, and I would love Dave Kovac to be my president right now. I would love that.
Does he speak Italian in it?
I once caught a fish this big. And Frank Langella and Kevin Dunn, Bing Rames, a sneaky great performance as like the Secret Service agent with the sweater vest. And he's like, you think a sweater vest makes my neck look big? It's great. Charles Grodin got a great cameo in it. Ben Kingsley's the vice president, President Nance. Just a great, fun, beautiful movie. Remarkably rewatchable. I have seen it hundreds of times. Actually, for a movie that was made in 93, it is aged very effectively. And I think it's one of the greatest movies of all time. I challenge anybody to fight me on this.
I won't fight you on it. It's a great movie. I've watched it. I've seen it numerous times. It's fun.
One of my sneaky favorite parts is in the background when Oliver Stone's doing the interview and he's like, if you look at the pictures. Just fucking genius, man.
It also proves that just about anybody can take the place of a president.
It's really not that big a deal of a job. It doesn't seem all that hard.
Now, okay. You have a thing against the same person playing twins.
You know what?
The same person playing a president.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. They're not twins, are they, Uncle Bookie? They're not twins. They're two different people. One guy has sex with Laura Linney and goes into a coma, and the other guy's a decent human being. All right? That's not twins. It just happened to look the same.
To quote David St. Hubbins, it's a thin line between clever and stupid.
Tomorrow. Look, Dave, you're great, but she could work on it a little bit. That's great, man. Awesome. And it's not like in your face humor either. It's like a subtle, smart comedy. That's what the world needs right now. We need more movies like Dave, and we need Dave to be our president.
I'll vote for that.
Thank you. Me too.
Let me tell you my second one. I love this movie for the sheer fact that when you're watching this, the White House gets the shit destroyed out of it in this.
Oh, I didn't know you were going here.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, though.
All right, let's see. Let's hear it.
All right. James Woods is the bad guy in this movie.
Yeah. He's such a dick in this. It was supposed to be a Die Hard movie, right? Wasn't the original script going to be like Die Hard 4 or 7 or one of these?
I think so.
That's the rumor.
White House Down.
Yeah. I don't love this movie, to be fair, but I do like Woods' performance. He really goes for it.
It's actually a fun kind of little comedy gem movie.
Funny cop-ish
element. Jamie Foxx is the president.
He's pretty good.
And he throws on his high tops when he needs to. Channing Tatum is the hero.
That's the part I don't like. I'm not a big Tatum guy.
Joey King is the daughter. And I just saw her in another movie called The Lie.
Yeah, wow. I heard that was an amazing performance. Yeah, we watched a documentary on that particular story, and I heard that was an incredible performance by her.
Richard Jenkins, who I believe is in almost every single political movie out there.
One of the greatest character actors of all time, no doubt about it.
Was it Jason Clarke? He's the antagonist of... He's the bad guy. He's one of the
commandos. Bad guys or whatever. Yeah. It's not a terrible screenplay. It didn't actually do all that well. It was an expensive movie that didn't... I don't think it broke even.
Oh, yeah. It was like a $150 million budget. And I think that's because it just blew the shit up out of the White House.
But I didn't hate it. It was a one-off kind of watch for me. I wouldn't call it super rewatchable, but it was a fun premise. And actually... I remember when I finally watched it, I didn't go see it in the theaters, ironically. I was like, okay, yeah, I could see John McClane. I could have saw this happening. But I'm glad it ultimately didn't end up being a Die Hard movie in the final analysis.
No, the Die Hard movie they came up with Justin Long.
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant.
Speaking of which, there's another Die Hard coming out. The John McClane movie.
This is what I hear. John McClane dies is the only way to save the franchise, is what I'm hearing.
He buys it's called John Buys a Battery.
It's a great commercial, right? You don't think it's selling out at all?
Argyle's bad.
Yeah, that's true. I guess that's
actually,
a win.
If you look at the commercial, all the characters from the movies are in that.
I think I've only seen the shortened clips of it. I haven't seen the full one. I have to go back and watch the full one somewhere.
What's your second movie?
All right, so my second one, and you know, there are some different rules here for me. If you really want to be specific on like a movie that focuses in on the president, I've always loved an early Sorkin movie directed by Rob Reiner, The American President, 95, Martin Sheen. But because I love Martin Sheen so much in The West Wing, I kind of cast that one aside, and I'll go to something more historical. It's one of the best journalism movies of all time. Bernstein and Woodward's book. Bill Goldman wrote it, of course. Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Classic, great writer. It's All the President's Men. It's remarkably rewatchable. It's always timely. I think it should be like curriculum for high school and the first 2 years of college for anybody that studies journalism or civics. It's just an incredible movie, and it's great performances. Hal Holbrook is unbelievable. Jason Robards, Ben Bradley. Tom Hanks later played Ben Bradley in another movie, and I couldn't watch it because all I could think about was Jason Robards' performance. I love this movie. I own it. I've seen it a million times. It is probably in my top 100 of all time, maybe top 50 of all time. 1976, All the President's Men.
Kind of like a combination of a whole bunch of different types of things that happened, right? Before and after Deep Throat.
They don't take a lot of liberties, as one would think. It's pretty legit. You know, obviously they had Bernstein and Woodward to go off of, and they made it awfully quick. It was made in 76. So that is crazy interesting. It's a warning sign, and maybe we don't always listen to those warnings, but the movie probably should be watched constantly every November, so we don't forget what can happen when a president sort of goes off the rails a little bit. And I love that Nixon is in it, just little glimpses. You hear his voice, the background TV, just little peccadilloes to guide you along your way. But he's really the main character, and it's just a fascinating way to make a movie. I just think it was a beautiful screenplay, wonderfully directed, and stands the test of time.
Follow the money.
Yeah, right. Hal Holbrook, one of my favorite character actors of all time also. I love that guy.
We're talking about presidential movies, man. Okay, hold on. There's something even better than presidential movies. I mean, of course, yes, some of the ones that we've watched have fictional presidents in it, but come on. Who is your favorite fictional president. And this is how I want you to phase this. I want you to name a good guy fictional president and then a bad guy fictional president.
That's tough. There's been some pretty good bad ones. So it's got to be fictional. So I will lean on Billy Bob in Love Actually for my bad guy. I just think he does like a subtle creepiness that is very effective. But I do like that particular performance by Billy Bob, creepy in Love Actually. So the bad one, I'll go for that guy. And then my favorite fictional president of all time, it's no mystery here on East to West with Nick and Rob. It is Josiah Bartlett from New Hampshire, by the way. You know, President Bartlett from the West Wing, Martin Sheen. I want him to narrate my life. I want him to be president for life. It's the only way that I'd get rid of term limits is if Martin Sheen was my president, as Josiah Bartlett, of course.
Well, we used to not have term limits, but that was when we had, you know, FDR. You know,
like, we had once we got rid of ethics, you know, that thing was over.
I'm going to go in reverse. I'm going to name my favorite good guy fictional president. Okay.
I'm interested in your bad guy.
All right. This guy was a fighter pilot. He landed the first missile into the alien craft. He led the Earth to victory.
Lone Star?
Bill Pullman. That's right. He was also Lone Star. This is President Whitmore from Independence Day.
By the way, Independence Day 2 gets a bad rap. Is it a good movie? No. But are you happy to see your old friends? Absolutely.
I am. I kind of wish that Will Smith was in it in some capacity.
Even if he was just in it like a tiny bit, he would have enhanced it just enough to get it over the hump, I think. I remember seeing it, I think, opening weekend or maybe the weekend right after. That trailer, one of the greatest trailers of all time, I very vividly remember it. And seeing the White House explode was incredible. I mean, now you look at it and it looks like a little model blowing up for the most part. But back then, that was intense stuff.
I think that was the last time I was in a movie theater, actually, honestly, when I saw that trailer. Forced to go to watch Private Parts, I believe, and that was the trailer that was before.
Pretty good movie. Yeah, not bad.
However,
Paul Giamatti,
when they showed the things blowing up, the buildings blowing up, they had actually planned to have the State House in Boston be one of the explosions because of the gold, you know, the gold dome roof.
Yeah.
But they chose not to do that. I guess they were saving it for Godzilla to destroy Fenway Park and King of the Monsters.
That pissed me off. It's one of the reasons I hate that movie.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
That movie was ill-conceived also.
The first one was great, and then they screwed it up with the second one.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It seemed like it would work, but it did not. Now we'll see probably Godzilla versus King Kong. That'll be great.
Here's my evil president. He cares only about himself, all right? He doesn't like beaming.
Okay.
His luggage combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is he evil? I don't know that he's evil necessarily.
Evil, stupid, kind of like a weird hairstyle.
He does have like a butler mustache also. It's just, I don't know what's up with that.
It's President Scroob.
I'll just walk. Yeah, I get that. You know, I will say just quick shouts. Daniel Moffat was President Bennett in Clear and Present Danger. And I've always loved that probably my second favorite Jack Ryan movie, To Hunt for Red October, when Harrison Ford goes toe-to-toe with him. He's like, how dare you, sir? That's a pretty good moment. And he's a pretty good evil president. So shouts to him. I don't know if you consider Jeff Bridges in The Contender to be a bad guy president. He's sort of like both sides of the fence in that movie. But that's a pretty great movie by Rod Lurie back in the day, I think 2000, 2001, somewhere around there. And Bridges plays like a pretty fascinating president in that movie also.
What about President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho? It's Terry Crews, man.
I just can't.
Oh man, it's like they foresaw the future.
Yeah, right.
All right, Nick.
Past is prologue, as usual. How about Jack Nicholson in Mars Attack? Just a quick shout. Quick shout. I really love that performance. That movie should have done better.
He had no idea what to do against the aliens. He was no President Whitmore.
And you know, he plays like another part in that movie too, just a weird, silly cameo. How about the candidate, right? Robert Redford? All right, we'll stop. We can go all night.
We can go all night.
Welcome to Mooseport. That's a shout.
Oh man.
That's a sneaky
one of my
good movie.
Favorite actors in that. Oh.
Sneaky good performance. You know, Ray Romano and Gene Hackman crushing it.
Gene Hackman is my man. I love him. He's a great actor.
Oh. And there's a quiet movie. It did not do very well. I remember when it came out, I was still video stores going on. I was waiting for it to come out. Yeah, back in 1994. It's a sneaky good Nicolas Cage performance. He's great with Shirley MacLaine in a little movie called Guarding Test. She's a former first lady and he's like a bodyguard. They got a great little chemistry in that movie. I've always loved that movie. Just a quick.
Does he have a wooden hand or a fake hand?
No, oh, no, no, he does not. Different movie, yeah. He steals the Declaration of Independence.
All right, Nick, you're over the age of 35.
I am. That is correct.
You're eligible to run for president. You became president.
Oh, I did. I won.
You
won.
Was
it a landslide or was it decided by the Supreme Court?
No comment.
Yeah, okay, very good. Not here talking about the past.
Okay, you're the president now, right? Picture this. You get to name your own holiday. You get to give America a holiday.
Man.
What's the holiday?
TB12 day? That sounds interesting.
Oh, come on.
Mookie Betts May 1st day? okay, let me think about this. I'm going to take this moment because I probably am only going to do one term because people are going to get to know me. So I'm going to do something serious. This is something that I've always believed in. So we'll take a moment to get serious on East to West with Nick and Rob. We've mentioned it on the previous episodes. I think the Voting Rights Act of 1965, even though it's sort of been gutted a little bit in recent years, was a big deal. It was passed August 6th, okay, but it doesn't really matter when it was passed. We should take November 3rd, Election Day, make it a holiday, call it the Voting Rights Day or Voting Day, and that's it. Other countries have similar things. We are way behind the times on this. It should be a nationally recognized holiday, Voting Day, but I think that's a no-brainer.
The state of New York actually has that. You know and I know it only takes about 5 minutes to vote, but they give you the whole day off.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that because there are certain places. Look, it all depends on each state. We are 50 separate essential electoral processes, right? So my state is great because of all the early voting. Your state is very good about getting participation in voting, early voting, mail-in ballots, etc. But other states aren't. So it really, because America has a low percentage in turnout, regardless of what side of the madness you're on, or if you prefer third parties, fourth parties, etc., and you want more voices, more choices, all that's great. But having a day where we focus on the civic duty of the citizen, the civic duty of democracy, I just think it's a win. So as much as I would like Mookie Betts Day, I'm going to go Voting Day.
Well, you want Mookie Betts Day, I want a different day, all right? Statistically, the Americans don't want this. Why? I don't know. I guess they'd rather bang in sick than get an actual day as a holiday, all right? Because out of...
My favorite segment is when Uncle Bookie tells me what America wants.
The vast amount of people... I'm reading facts, by the way.
I'm reading.
This is from Business Insider. The vast amount of people in the United States don't want this day as a holiday. And I think it should be a holiday because 17.5 million Americans bang out of work on this day. Just make it a holiday.
I know. Don't be selfish.
Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah. I mean, we're sort of conceding that the NFL is America's favorite sport, and I still have a hard time with that because I'm a baseball guy. But yeah, I get it. I mean, certainly I would be happy if that was a holiday because I overeat at least and often overdrink watching the Super Bowl. And if it's the Patriots, I pace around and never sit down the whole day until the game is over. So yeah, I could see that and I'd be pretty happy. You'd probably get the vote on that. You'd probably win an election on that issue.
I would win the election on that. That means I get two terms because I'm going to give you another holiday. I would declare April 1st a holiday. Call it All Fools Day.
All right. That's not a bad day. That could be voter registration All Fools Day.
And even if it's on a Saturday or Sunday, you still get it off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. Yeah. So when it's nationally recognized, it falls on a Saturday, you recognize it on the Monday, right? So you'd give them All Fools Day
But the thing is, you still have to go to work on Monday because that would be the whole thing about
it. Oh, that's the joke. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. Are you a big April Fool's guy? I tend to forget when that day goes by and like one person will get me and then I get mad at them.
I used to be. I've kind of grown tired of it. All right.
I gotcha.
Let's talk about your presidential food. I know you're going to go a different direction on this. I'm going to go with what I want as president. Okay.
That makes sense. That's on brand. All right, I'll allow it. I'm going to give you my first one because I am a history major and I do love history and I am from New Hampshire, despite popular belief. And I was a big fan of these things and you don't really see them a ton on the West Coast. I feel like they're not a big part of my life now and I miss them. Do you remember those Hostess fruit pies? You know, there's okay, so that's like a New Hampshire thing, right? New Hampshire fried pies. And, you know, when you have them fresh, it looks like a little calzone, a little confection sugar on it. And generally, there's apples in there because, you know, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New England's a big apple area. But you can put other stuff in there, peach, all sorts of stuff, strawberry, rhubarb, whatever. They're amazing, right? Franklin Pierce, that was his favorite dish when he was president. He is a New Hampshire president. So I'm going to stay local and I'm going to say New Hampshire fried pies. I need those back in my life. If I was up late at night worrying about Russia or China, I would probably order myself some New Hampshire fried pies. They are terrible for you, by the way, but they taste amazing.
Are those Drake's pies or those Hostess pies?
Because I mean, I'll take anyone normally because they were like 25 cents. I always went Hostess because they were the cheaper, crappier ones, but they were still fucking great.
Little Debbie style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we weren't rich. You know that. Take what we can get.
Little Entenmann's.
But I'm telling you, the fresh ones are the way you want to go there.
So a nice hand pie is what you would have.
New Hampshire's fried pies. That's what I'll say. Franklin Pierce's own.
Wow. I'm going to go with some totally different, all right? I'm talking about my victory dinner. I just won the presidency, right? I'm about to celebrate because this is the last meal I'm probably going to have at a set time because I'm going to have to get stuff done, okay?
All right.
Ribeye. A ribeye steak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
This is a good question. Can I just tangent here for a moment? So when you watch some of these movies, like even in Dave, when he makes that fancy sandwich, it's the middle of the night. Everybody talks about the presidential kitchen having just about everything, right? The chefs know basically what the people in the White House want, and they stock up everything, whether it's haddock, swordfish, ribeyes, dry age, whatever. It's all there, right? So would you see yourself waking up at like 2 a.m, strolling on down and being like, hey, trim me a ribeye, make me a nice ribeye sandwich with some fucking, I don't know, béarnaise sauce in there and some fucking fancy greens? Are you that guy, or would you just make it yourself, or how does that work?
I would make it myself, actually.
Yeah, I mean, being served, right? It's kind of, it was always awkward to me.
At that time of the night, if I'm just going out and I want something to eat, I'm going to make it myself.
Yeah.
During the day, yeah.
But we're busy. We're working, right? We're right. Saving the world.
Right. So I want that ribeye steak, and I want it with some cream spinach, okay?
Cool. I like that. Yeah, that's fantastic.
What?
Is your ribeye dry aged or not dry aged?
It's dry aged. Okay. I'm going to make it dry aged.
We're not animals, right?
No. Okay. And I want it topped with either jumbo shrimp.
Oh, wow.
Or a butter poached lobster.
I'm going crab.
I want some avocado crumber on the side.
Wow. That is a great effing dish. That is fit for a king.
Notice what's not on this dish at all.
No mash, no carbs.
No carbs.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to raise your cholesterol, but you're going to do all right. You're going to do all right in the weight area.
I'm going to be the world's first keto president.
Dead in the second year.
Looking great.
No, I like the keto diet. It's one of my favorite diets because I love all the shit that you can have. A huge taco boat. Huge. But I'm going to circle back to Abraham Lincoln. His wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, was an incredible baker. Basically a world, possibly renowned level baker. And she had a ton of great dishes. But I was able to try with specifically her recipe once before, Mary Todd's vanilla almond cake. And it's so simple, but so freaking good. I love that particular dish. So if I was around in the White House, I know that that would be one of the dishes they would know how to make, and I would definitely ask for it.
Wow.
It's only egg whites, by the way, so it's bad for you, but not quite so bad, you know?
I thought that, you know, President Lincoln would have gone for some head cheese or something, or, you know.
He might have, but she was baking. She was a classy baker.
Well, for me, I'm a comfort type of president, right? So waiting for my national holiday of Super Bowl Monday to come up, I want some comfort food for my Super Bowl while I watch it, no matter which team wins, because, you know, I'll be there to salute the troops, salute the players, salute the fan.
It's the Jets, Rob?
Well, I do have my limits.
Yeah, right? We all have our limits. We all have our term limits.
If I become president and the Jets are in the Super Bowl, then maybe the world is right. Who knows? But I want me a big bowl of extra hot chili.
Yeah, that was Lyndon Johnson's favorite. I think he had like a specific chili dish that he always loved, as I recall. And I think he liked it spicy.
But I want it with some sour cream on it, a little bit of cheese, and some avocado slices.
No onion?
It's
no onion on the top?
No.
In the chili, but not on the top.
Look, okay. I don't do Cincinnati style chili. I don't like cinnamon in it. I don't like that stuff.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
If you want cinnamon in your food, then you better be eating a cinnamon bun.
Those are amazing, by the way. All right, so I'll transition off even though cinnamon bun sounds amazing right now, I'll transition off of that and go to a main course here. And I'm going to choose JFK's favorite dish, which is New England fish chowder. And I like this particular chowder. I don't get to have good seafood out here on the West Coast that much, which always makes me mad. Sometimes I'll venture off to California where it's decent. But when you go back east, there's good stuff out there. And Kennedy's fish chowder was 2 pounds of haddock. So his haddock chowder, I like it. It's really good. And it's super thick. And they put the chopped celery in there, nice potatoes in there, onions in there, little salt, you know, pretty basic New England style. But I've always thought like chowder is like a comfort food to me. And President's a stressful gig. So for me, I'll go with that New England fish chowder as something that I'd probably have pretty consistently. Maybe a grilled cheese on the side every once in a while.
You know what, President Greek? I'll allow it. You know why? Because chowder is for
champions. Chowder for champions. And you know what? They were not pretentious eaters for being Camelot, by the way.
Well, you know, hey, Camelot 2's a silly place, but...
I forget Camelot.
Hey, I know as president, I'm going to approve this podcast. Are you going to approve this podcast?
My name is Captain Tangent, and I approve this podcast.
And on that note, it's now time for a word from our sponsor.
Anchor. Hopey Changey.
Now, the really good thing about meeting the President of the United States is the food.
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, President Bookie?
Well, President Greek, it's time to close out the bubble.
Bubble talk, pop those bubbles.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right, bubble talk. Finally, our long national nightmare is nearing an end with the Dodgers closing out the fan-friendly Tampa Bay Rays in a 3-1 nail-biter. Pretty fun World Series, I would say. Our friend, future Hall of Famer Mookie Betts, hit a nice insurance home run late in the game. I was bewildered by the management the entire six games, but I enjoyed these games. For what I watched, I pretty much had fun. I didn't agree with the managing, but I had fun watching them, at least. What was your take on this World Series, Rob? Right, team
first,
win?
First of all, 32 years they had to wait to win a World Series, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
that ain't nothing. That ain't
nothing. All right, no, come on. Don't have to feel bad for the Dodgers. I will say, like, they have lost a bunch of World Series either badly or in heartbreaking fashion, or like NLCS is a playoff series, etc. So there's something there, but I don't give a shit. I don't feel bad for them at all.
Other than the fact that Mookie Betts hits like shit in the postseason.
269 average, couple home runs, couple.
Oh, no. 269 average.
269 average this World Series. Well, okay. I mean, come on. You don't have to.
Overall postseason.
We don't have to poo poo Mookie Betts. Corey Seager was the MVP, and Mookie did hit a home run in the clinching game. So, you know, he was.
Yeah, but there's something very much more important. Don't forget to get your free taco, man.
I don't want to dwell on the negative too much. There's two things that I would complain about. Number one, Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell. A little bit weird. Disagreed with it. Number two, Justin Turner basically pulled in, what, the seventh inning, I think, because he tested positive for COVID. He may or may not have known this and played anyway. Just a fitting for 2020 to have just a weird ending to the World Series like that.
Okay, I got something to say. Justin Turner, great player, you know, has pine tar on his shoulder all the time.
He's a gamer. Right? He's a gamer.
He's a gamer, but come on. He gets pulled out of the game for testing positive for COVID. Then all of a sudden he shows back up on the field wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden there's people with their families on the field from the Dodgers celebrating. And that loser, and I'm going to call him a loser at this point, has his mask off.
Yeah.
Just got tested for COVID around all these kids and his teammates. Come on.
Now, to be fair, his teammates did support him when he finally went away and they were kind of heartbreaking. He wasn't able to party with them. But, you know, again, it's all weird. And I don't exactly know what the right etiquette there is. Probably not to be a dick, for one. Probably don't be out there. But it's just fitting that 2020 ends with such a wonky story like that. Baseball embracing the bubble just barely gets by, because if that ends up being an outbreak and like six or seven Dodgers test positive now, you might have cut off the World Series in a game seven or something like that, which would have been nuts. So baseball got a little lucky here. I'm glad it's kind of over. Looking forward to 2021.
Yeah. Do you think Cash was playing a money ball type of situation here?
He definitely was. There's no doubt about it. And actually, so was Dave Roberts. I wonder, with like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that Dave Roberts used to clinch out game six of the World Series, is that going to start a trend next year? Are we going to see teams with like 3 or 4 stars starters, and then the fifth day they're just going to go with a bunch of bullpen guys that they send up, send down all year long. I'm worried because I don't like that type of baseball. I'm not sure it's a smart thing to do, but the results, at least playoff-wise, they speak for themselves. They worked out pretty well. Both teams did it.
All right, so Dave Roberts finally gets them to the promised land, gets them.
Doesn't get fired, we think, anyway.
You know, I just have a weird feeling that they may part ways with him. It may be like a Doc Rivers kind of situation. I don't know.
he could go to the Sixers, too. They're spending a lot of money right now.
Yeah, send him to the Sixers. Dave Roberts stole the base. Okay, I'm not sure. No, he wasn't the... Jacoby Ellsbury was the first person to steal the base, to steal the taco.
Is that right? That one MVP season for Jacoby Ellsbury was incredible. I don't know what the fuck happened to that guy, but he was great to watch for a minute there.
All right, so he stole the base for the first taco, and the last stolen base in the World Series for the taco was with Mookie Betts. So, America, if you want tacos from the World Series, you have to at least bet on the Red Sox or ex-Red Sox player to help you get the tacos.
Bet on Mookie, get your taco.
Is that pretty much all we have for the bubble talk?
Yeah, that's all we have for the bubble, Rob. Now it's time for NFL talk.
Wow, that sounds so weird.
It does sound weird. We have one sport now to focus on. Maybe we'll have some news break here and there, but we're down to America's favorite sport, I guess, begrudgingly.
Cornhole?
Yeah, cornhole. Yeah. Amazing sweatpants. I'm going to skip over the Niner-Patriot game because I just don't want to talk about it very much. And we're going to go into some of the more interesting games of the week. I thought the Browns at the Bengals was a weird game. The flow was odd. Joe Burrow shows up. He's your buddy. 406 yards, 3 touchdowns. But Baker played pretty well. And even though they made a few mistakes in this game, the Browns were able to squeak it out. They are 5-2 now. I guess my question is, are the Browns good? Because I have a hard time. I watch them and I don't think they're good. But 5-2 speaks to, you know, that you are what your record, as Bill Parcells said.
The question each year is, will somebody take the Browns to the Super Bowl?
No, that's the answer. I can answer that.
Which, think about it, folks. It's a double entendre there.
You can, yeah, right? Put Haddock in your chowder and know the Browns won't make the Super Bowl.
So, no, the Browns are having a very good year. I'm happy for Cleveland fans.
I'm kind of happy for them, too, actually. There's something, they're so bad most of the time. When they are good, you sort of feel happy about it.
At least this stadium is nice and clean.
All right, so let's move on to the Steelers-Titans. That Steelers-Titans game was a barn burner. A lot of fun. As much as I hate Ben Roethlisberger, he kept him in it, even though he had a bunch of mistakes. I think he threw three picks in that game.
Ben is back. He's playing like pre-injuries.
I go the other way. I think like they should be shopping for another quarterback. Yeah, he's playing well, but he looks like he's near the end, if not at the end this season.
Boy, I thought they had another quarterback. I want to take shots to the head with helmets.
Jesus. Were you interested in that game? That's the first loss for the Titans, and the Steelers are undefeated. Now, the Steelers, we're going to talk about them, are going into a tough matchup next week with a rested Ravens team. So if you had to pick a division winner for that division there, who would you pick? You think the Steelers are better than the Ravens? Is this next game going to tell us?
The next game is going to be, the prediction for it. I do believe the Steelers overall, as a whole, are a better team. I still think that the Ravens have some learning to do. At least Lamar Jackson is starting to play like he has teammates, which makes them play
better. I think
the
week off will do them some good. Let's see what happens after the bye week. Let's see how they come out. I do think they should utilize their running backs more, just like the Bills. Speaking of that, the Bills with an 18-10 win against the Jets. We don't have to dwell on it. But Josh Allen, kind of an up-and-down game. Bills 5-2. I mean, it looks like the AFC East is going to the Bills. Do you think anybody can come back and challenge that?
You know, usually you don't see football players go into slumps, especially quarterbacks.
Yeah.
On a team that's winning. You don't usually see it. But Josh Allen lately has been playing like he doesn't know where the hell he is half the time.
He's sailing the ball. And this is what I said. Remember I said this weeks ago, I wonder about the coaching on that team because they have running backs on that team, Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, who I like, but they rely so much on Allen. I really think they should be, you know, evening out that offense a little bit.
They got two runners that are powerhouses. Also, they can catch on the flats, too. So
yeah, Yeah.
They need to go to the running backs more.
Yep. Sneaky Cole Beasley. And they got Diggs who can stretch the field too, right? So you think in theory that would create space for the running backs.
Right. But stop going for the money ball every single time.
Okay. Real quick, because I want to get your take on this. Cowboys, 2-5, scored 3 points against the fucking Washington football team. How concerned should Cowboy fans be? Are they packing their bags and just calling it? What a weird team that is.
Okay. All right. Red Rocket gets his bell rung. Okay.
It's not like he was playing good before that.
Andy Dalton is an okay quarterback. He is not.
I don't think it's him. I think it's the team. There's something wrong with Mike McCarthy and something wrong with that team.
Mike McCarthy needs to be fired. But
yeah. Remember, I said he was on my list.
The Dallas Cowboys are a weird team. They will stick with this knucklehead until something drastic happens. Like, let's just say they lose the rest of the games this season. They'll keep him until next year and see if he can bring him back.
They are weird like that. I don't know what's up with Jerry Jones. You know, he needs to clean his own glasses.
Who's the quarterback now? The Giamazzi? Giacomo? Jackalope?
Yeah, the Jackalope. What the fuck can be? Yeah, you remember that? No, it's Ben DiNucci, I think is his name. But who the fuck DiNucci cares? Like, but Andy Dalton should play next week, right? What was Travolta's name in Saturday Night Fever? All right, let's move off of those two crappy teams and let's close with a couple of decent teams. We had talked about it. We actually went 2-for-2 in Place Your Bets from last week. Buccaneers at Raiders. Now, the Raiders were sneaky decent coming into the game 3-2. They did play at home in that beautiful stadium here in Las Vegas. But Tom Brady, the golden one, the GOAT, came in and just laid the smackdown on him. 45-20, the Buccaneers win and cover. The game goes over. I was impressed. I think some of the other Buck wins were a little bit shaky for me, but I started to think like the team was coming together as a whole. Gronkowski had like a weird kind of fumble there, maybe a little bit wonky. But for the most part, I thought offense, defense, this team is showing flashes of possibly being 11-5, maybe a little bit better than that. I'm starting to really like this Tampa Bay team.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, they can win the division, obviously.
They could. That's a tough division to win. Fournette finally looked like worth it, basically.
The big thing here is they signed another wide receiver, not very well known, doesn't speak much. He's very quiet, very shy guy.
I let me ask you this question. I'm not doing fantasy football question this week, but I had the number one waiver pickup and I could have taken him, but because he was on my team and I'm so pissed at him from last year and the year before that, I couldn't bring myself to do it. Did I make a mistake? Should I have picked up Antonio Brown?
No,
I don't see him doing a lot.
It's going to screw up the team. They have chemistry right now.
Okay.
Why?
I'm going to counter that, though, by telling you that Chris Godwin broke a finger. Now, we don't know how bad it is. I guess it's like a minor surgery. Maybe it's just a couple of weeks. But without Godwin, he's going to get some looks, and you know Brady likes him. But I still don't want him on my fantasy team.
Back in the 70s and 80s, when a football player broke his fucking finger, he would rub some dirt on it and get back in the goddamn game.
Just rip it off, man.
He'd go to the back, get a blowtorch and singe his finger back right to the next one.
All right, let's take a moment because I do want to just glance at this one particular game because it was a heck of a ride, a lot of fun to watch, unlike the Monday night game. Seahawks at Cardinals. Man, I always like Kyler Murray, and I like Russell Wilson, hustle, bustle, Russell. But that was a wonky game. That was a game that I think Pete Carroll lost, but credit to the Cardinals for pulling it off. Nice kick at the end, although I'm sick of those stupid timeouts to ice the kicker thing.
Pete Carroll, Kevin Cashed that game.
Yeah, I think you might have. I think you may be right about that. By the way, Drew Bledsoe, the broken finger playoff game. Remember that? Unbelievable.
Yep, I do.
Legend. I would say that the Seahawks at 5-1, I still think you might be right. I'm starting to feel like even in that loss, they show me some stuff that they could be a Super Bowl team. So watch out for them.
And Russell is a good fantasy football quarterback, too. Like, I mean, he's having been unbelievable this year.
I think there was this one moment where like Kyler made a nice run and Russell was like, yeah, I can do that, too. And then he went for a run. But I was worried because he took a couple shots, So I always worry about Russell staying healthy. But yeah, I think he's a good runner. He's sneaky fast. I forgot how fast he was.
He's like a rubber band man, too, though. He bounces off a lot of people.
Rubber band man. All right, so that's it for Bubble Talk.
Whoa, does that mean it's time to place your bets?
Place your bets. Play the music.
And now, folks, it's time for Who Do You Trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
What's a casino? People gotta win sometimes.
You just cost me $6,000.
But nothing's predictable in this tough, harsh, highly competitive world where today's champion is tomorrow's crocodile shit.
All right. place your bets.
Who's Matthew McConaughey? Come on, say it again.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. He just lost me $6,000. Place your bets. So we're going to go over a couple of games. And we're going to start off with my favorite game of the week. It is an early game on Sunday. It is Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore coming off the bye. It is an undefeated Pittsburgh team and a one-loss Baltimore team. Over under 46.5. Baltimore, and I kind of agree with this line for the most part, -3.5. You got any thoughts on that game? I know you don't like Lamar, but I have a sneaky feeling that the Ravens will win and cover. What's your take?
I'm going to go with the Steelers in this game. I'm going to go with the under 46. I believe the steel curtain is going to come down on this Baltimore offense, and they're going to shut Lamar down.
You might be right about that. I wouldn't be totally shocked. I'm not completely. It's actually the two best defenses in the league, not by every metric, but by some metrics. So it isn't going to be an interesting game to watch. I actually want to stay away from the over-under because I can't tell how the game's going to go. But I just have a funny feeling that Baltimore, with the week off, has a slight advantage here.
And I was a little bit thrown off by this game last week also when I saw the press conference at the end because Mike Tomlin came out and spoke. And I looked twice because I thought it was Darius Rucker was on the screen wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers. So, yeah, Mike Tomlin shaved his head. He looks like Darius Rucker.
I like that look, though, right? I love Mike Tomlin. I've always loved Mike Tomlin.
What about the Saints and the Bears game, Nick? What's your take on that?
Yeah, the Saints and the Bears game, an interesting game. The Bears just look crappy against the Rams, which you won on, by the way. Shouts, congratulations. That game is interesting. It is New Orleans -4.5 at most places. I think we said it last week, but I guess this is a game Mike Thomas comes back, not last week, where I expected to see him, but it didn't show up. And the over-under at most places is around 43.5. I guess that's because they don't think Chicago can score points. Now, there's questions on this game, right? Is Allen Robinson going to play? He's in the concussion protocol. Are they going to possibly swap Trubisky for Foles? Are they staying with Foles? I know they're hinting at staying with Foles. If it was me as a bettor, I'd stay away from it. But if you're forcing me to pick, I'll take New Orleans to cover. I'll probably go over, but probably stay away from it.
I'm going to pick New Orleans to absolutely come out and light up the sky against the Bears. They just look shaky in the defense lately. Their coverage is off, way off. So I'm going to go with Breeze with a record-setting game against
really?
The Bears.
Yep. I did think, like, Kamara had a pretty good week last week, and man, is he fun to watch. Breeze was a little bit better throwing the ball. Obviously, if Thomas comes back, it kind of changes that team a little bit. So they're clearly the better roster. But I don't know. Chicago is one of those teams where I feel like if I bet on them or against them, I'm going to lose either way. So it feels like kind of a wonky game to me.
We'll say this. I do much better in the picks than I do in the locks. I tell you that.
That is definitely true. Yeah. Yeah. We both do better in the picks, actually. Okay. So the last game I want to ask you about, I think this is an interesting betting opportunity, and I kind of like this game. San Francisco, they're kind of sort of sabermetricing football a little bit by just putting different running backs in constantly there. They're at Seattle next week. You know you like your Russell Hustle Bustle. The over-under is 53.5, and it's Seattle -3. I think, and call me crazy, that if I had a little bit of cheese in my pocket, I might go San Francisco money line here. I feel like there's like an upset special looming. Seattle a little bit on tilt after that Arizona loss, and I still think they're going to be a great team, maybe even a Super Bowl team if I'm staying with the Packers. I think this is an opportunity for San Francisco to possibly win a big one because they're a pretty good roster.
I'm going to go opposite on US on this. I'm going to go with Seattle to win this game outright. Okay.
And you think they'll cover those 3 points?
I think they'll cover those 3 points. I mean, Handsome Jimmy did not have a good game last week, when you think about it.
He doesn't have to, though. He throws most of the time behind the line of scrimmage. That's just not how they win. They're not a quarterback team, really.
No, but all that Seattle has to do is neutralize their running backs, take down their tight end, and you're golden.
Okay, here's the sneaky thing with this game, and I'm interested because I've always liked Carlos Hyde, and I have Chris Carson on more than one fantasy team. Seattle is probably not going to have Chris Carson, which means Carlos Hyde's going to start. That takes a big weapon away. Carlos Hyde played for San Francisco for a while. I don't know. There's something about the game and the chemistry between those two teams. Divisional game. I just smell upset. I might be crazy on it, though.
How old is Carlos Hyde? Was he like 50?
Yeah, I don't think he's like 32, maybe 31. He's not that old. Running back years, he's 80.
Seems like I had his rookie card in 1984.
Frank Gore is 150 in running back years, so he's still playing.
Frank Gore, wasn't he the one that they always say bar none?
Yeah, yeah. Never win you a fantasy game, but always give you double-digit points. All right, so that'll do it for Place Your Bets. I think those are three interesting games this week. Looking forward to a good week of NFL football.
Does that mean that much like the hair of Fabio, it's time for Locks of the Week?
Lock it up!
First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is your fire.
All right. There it is. You're welcome, America.
Matthew McConaughey's fan.
Let's get philosophical on Locks of the Week. All right, Locks of the Week. We have two, I think, good, at least betting opportunity type games. The Dallas game is a little bit wonky because we don't exactly know who's going to start, what's going on with Andy Dalton. But if you find the line on the Dallas at Philly game, which is a Sunday night game, the line looks to be 43 over under with Philly minus 7.5. That is an awful lot of respect for Philadelphia, but Dallas looks atrocious. So that's your first opportunity on Locks of the Week. And I'm going to go right to the second opportunity before we even talk about it, because that game is so terrible. Tampa Bay at Giants, TB12 minus 10.5 on the road with the over under 46. So those are your two lock options. What do you got, Rob?
First of all, if I were the Cowboys and the Eagles, I would fake getting COVID so we could get the game rescheduled.
Yeah, reschedule the thing, right?
Get it and get it out of that Sunday night slot.
You reschedule it to 2024? I mean, how long? Because you could just have like pre-existing conditions or...
I would get the DeLorean and send it back in time to like, you know,
gigawatts.
To an Aikman and Emmett Smith played.
Yeah, that's probably a smart idea. But it's not like Philly's that good. I mean, it wouldn't blow my mind if Dallas just won or covered that game.
Carson Wentz is not an elite quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. He's just not.
Yeah. I mean, we're saying the line is minus 7.5 with a 43 over under. But if different players are announced, like if Andy Dalton's starting, they might change that. Vegas has this all over the map here.
I hear Romo might be playing for the Cowboys again.
Oh, it'd be amazing. Good. Because I'm sick of listening to him announce games.
It would be the greatest thing ever to happen to the NFL. Right,
make him the long snapper. I want to see him the long snapper.
That game is, for me, unlockable.
Yeah, it is. But I am interested. Carson Wentz is playing better. And I would like to see Alshon Jeffrey come back this week. I'm not sure if he is. So I could see Philly start streaking here. But Okay. Yeah, Dallas is too terrible.
As far as the other game, the Tampa Bay game versus the New York Football Giants, okay?
Danny
the
Giants
Dimes. Have Brady's number, no matter what. You do realize this.
I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm kind of on your side here. There is sort of a romance, and it's in New York. There is a funny feeling about this game, and that 10.5 is a pretty big number there.
Does Danny Dimes channel Eli Manning and make the fourth quarter comeback?
I hate even saying his name out loud, so I won't. You know, I root for Danny Dimes. I like him. That team is weird. They did get Sterling Shepard back, so I think that they have some weapons. Devontae Freeman might be out. I'm not sure what's up with that, but Wayne Gallman didn't look all that bad. It's hard to imagine the Giants winning this game, especially because Tampa's been progressively better each week, I think, and their defense is getting a little bit better, but I'm not going to take the line. What I will say is I'll do it again, even though I lost last week. You won last week. Congratulations. You won with your minus 6 Rams. I lost with that Bears over under 45 because Nick Foles couldn't fucking throw a touchdown pass, but I'm not angry about it. Big swing in Nick. Anyway, what I'll say is I'm going to go ahead and take that over again. Most places has the over-under in this game at 46. I will take Tampa Bay Giants over 46, and I am calling for an upset lookout, although I won't call for the actual upset.
Wow. I'm flipping a coin. Here it is. Here's the flip.
Oh, he wants to take the Giants. You want to take Danny Dimes.
Giants.
Plus 10.5. I hope you win that.
The Phantom has their picks too, though.
All right. Let's see what the Phantom did. The Phantom was 1-1 last week. They are 7-9-1 if you are betting with the Phantom. So I am 3-4. Uncle Bookie is 1-6. And the Phantom 7-9-1.
All right. The Phantom has taken both games, okay? The Phantom's taken the Eagles against the Cowboys.
And they're going to cover that 7.5, huh?
They're going to cover that. I mean, come on. The Cowboys put up 3 points.
I can't argue with it.
So I have to figure out the philosophy of the Phantom on that one to say that that's probably what they were basing this on. Also, they had taken Tampa Bay. Yes, Tampa Bay. The Phantom is taking them.
To cover 10.5. All right, interesting. So the Phantom's going against you.
Yeah, and that is what the locks of the week are.
Fuck you. That's my name.
Looking for Fabio.
All right, Nick, you have any recommendations?
I do have some recommendations. I caught a movie finally. I finally got enough time to watch a movie, and you recommended it to me, as well as a few others. Aaron Sorkin writing, which I always love, love, love. Aaron Sorkin directing, which is kind of a 50-50 mixed bag to me. Molly's Game was just a so-so poker movie. I think he's getting better. I find that this movie, the first half isn't as good as the second half, but if you can hang with it, it gets really good and it's poignant. The Trial of Chicago 7 on Netflix. Well done. Interesting. Unbelievable cast. Some really good performances. Michael Keaton comes in, steals a little cameo there. I enjoyed this movie. It made my top 10 list of the year.
Fantastic movie. Yeah, as far as Molly's Game goes, I don't think anybody watches that movie because of Sorkin. They watch it because of, you know, Jessica Chastain. Come on.
She's great. Yeah, she's great. Now, they watch it because Michael Cera playing Tobey Maguire. So great.
That is
such good. A dick.
And do you have any other recommendations?
I have a couple. If you want to get ahead of yourself here, a couple of trailers came out that I enjoyed. There is the Stardust trailer, which is the David Bowie biopic movie. I don't know that I love that trailer, but it's interesting to watch. So check that out on imdb.com. And then the Saved by the Bell reunion trailer. The show looks terrible, but I'll be watching anyway.
Oh, God. Who's playing David Bowie?
It's a guy that I don't know. Johnny Flynn, I think, is his name. But he doesn't actually look like him, but he has, like, the mannerisms from the trailer. Take a look at that trailer. I want to know what you think next week.
All right, I'll take a peek at it. And as far as Saved by the Bell goes, come on. Haven't we had enough of Screech?
Look, it's just a stupid lizard, man.
I got a recommendation for you, okay?
What do you got?
This is genius. It's on HBO, okay? The director of this is Spike Lee. It's David Byrne's American Utopia. You have to see this.
It looks weird. I have to watch that?
You have to see this. It is
like a live stage. What is? Can you explain it to me?
It's David Byrne, who you all know is a fucking musical genius.
He is.
Talking Heads features Talking Head songs. It's very about the time. So you have to watch this. It features a band that is an international band. So it's got a whole bunch of people from all around the world playing in this band. It's barefoot, okay? They're on a road to nowhere, man.
I love the Talking Heads.
So that is on HBO. Check it out.
It's a one-off? What is it? Like an hour special, two-hour special? What are we talking about?
It's a Broadway show. It will be back in hopefully 2021 on Broadway. So
can we go off on a quick tangent? Now, Hamilton came out on Disney. I saw the West Wing special. I don't know if you did. And now there's this, and I will get to this. I promise you that. Are you enjoying watching sort of these stage performances on TV or on your big screen? It's kind of interesting, right? I don't hate it as much as I thought I would.
No, I don't hate it. I mean, as long as I'm entertained. I mean, are we entertained?
Are you entertained?
We have to be entertained. We're stuck at home. You know, it's like a lot of people don't want to still go to the movie theaters. I mean, AMC is suffering. They have to stay home and watch these things. So give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. You know, I've been saying this for a while. Essentially, this could change movies forever, at least the cinema experience. I hope it doesn't, but the longer this goes, the more likely that is.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. You know, there's only time will tell. You got any shouts?
I do. I always have shouts. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. I believe they're doing X-Men Wolverine Origins next week. So shouts to the boys. They did Ringu last week. Actually, it was a really good episode. And definitely go back and listen to that Blair Witch episode. Very fun. RealWatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year. You can find out where the trial of the Chicago 7 ended up on my top 10. I know you can always hit me up at Twitter at Real Watch.
And don't forget to email us if you have any questions at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or you can send us a tweet at Nick and Rob E2W. That's Nick and Rob E, the number 2W. So you got the boys are going to do Wolverine Origins.
My hot take on X-Men Wolverine Origins is it's not bad because I love Liev Schreiber so much and he plays Sabretooth. There's like a lot of good in that movie, even though in the final analysis, it's kind of wonky.
That's what the Deadpool version of Ryan Reynolds with the sewn mouth.
The first Ryan Reynolds Deadpool with the sewn mouth. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I almost like the irony of it all.
It is. Very ironic.
Isn't that ironic, don't you think?
Well, folks, we bring you as fellow Americans this podcast.
I believe. Ask not.
Well, we got to have change.
The ignorance of one voter in a democracy impairs the security of all. You know who that was? JFK. Listen, it is your civic duty to vote. Participation is up this year more than most. Go out there and vote.
Vote, people. Vote. And yes, we do approve this podcast.
If you don't vote, you lose the right to complain. George Carlin.
Peace.
Mr. President, I'm beginning to smell a big fat commie rat. I mean,